Analysts use three letters to describe what a bear market looks like on a line graph, and you don't have to be a Wall Street pro to understand them. There's the V, the U, and then the dreaded L. So which letter describes the current market downturn as the coronavirus outbreak plays itself out, or is it too early to tell? Rob West sits down with economist Jerry Boyer to find that out and much more. Then we take your calls later on anything at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Economic realities, that's our topic today right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, Jerry Boyer is the chief economist at Vidon Financial, and today he shares his perspective on the market and economic trends that we're seeing right now and likely to see in the next week or so.
That's exactly right, Steve. And he does that from a viewpoint he calls principled reasoning, which is always rooted in biblical wisdom. Jerry, my friend, great to have you back with us.
Rob, always great to be with you. You too, Steve.
Thanks.
Jerry, we want to get your analysis of the current economic realities, if that's possible. And those realities are as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. But let's start with an explanation of those three letters Steve mentioned at the top of the program and how they describe bear markets. What are V, U, and the one no one wants to see, the L?
Well, just picture the letters in your mind and think of the, you know, a V goes down sharply and then it comes up sharply. And the V-shaped cycle would be we go down quickly, and we got that part right. We definitely got yes. We've mastered the left part of the V in recent weeks. The V goes down sharply and then hits a sharp bottom and then comes up. And you know that could refer to markets or that could refer to the economy. You're asking about that as the economy. So the U goes down very sharply, hangs around at the bottom a little bit, and then comes back up very sharply. And then the L, it goes down sharply, and then it stays down. So the people usually describe those as those are the kind of the options with economies. Sometimes there's check marks, and you can just see what that means. Or the square root symbol, which I think is maybe a little closer to what we're going to see. We're going to kind of top out a little bit and then maybe another outbreak. I don't know about the epidemiology. Let's say an outbreak of fear or concern. W, it goes down, comes up, goes down, comes up. What you don't want to see is the lambda, which no one knows what I'm talking about, but except for those people who went to seminary and had to take Greek. So you can Google that one. Down, then flat, then down again really badly. It's just kind of a way of picturing what different economic cycles might look like. Now, if you're asking what I'm thinking something more like a U or like the square root symbol.
Mm. So you feel like, in essence, what we're dealing with now is going to be here for a bit, but we will ultimately recover. It just may not be as quickly as we got into this situation.
Yeah, that's right. So you could see a one or two quarter really bad GDP print. We see some of the worst numbers we've ever seen. And I know that really terrifies people. And I think that's why on the media they like to say worst or best, they like superlative words, worst day in the history of Wall Street or best day in the history of Wall Street, because they're playing to emotion. A sharp fall and a sharp recovery is in some ways a lot better than a long stagnation. Yes. Because you get back to normal. You're not out of work for 2 years. You're out of work for 3 months. Which is a lot less debilitating and a lot less painful, and you can kind of get back to normal pretty quickly. So when you have these Vs, when you have like a quick purging of the economy, I'm talking about a conventional recession, not the weird thing we have now. Some of the businesses that maybe should have gone bankrupt, here's their opportunity to go bankrupt, and people go and work for businesses that have better long-term outlooks. Recessions are actually, I know this might sound insensitive, but recessions can be a good thing. Just like tough times in life can be a good thing.
Well, that's right, Jerry. It results in almost, as you said, a purging. And I want to dig into that and talk about perhaps after the break what changes we might see in the economy that are here to stay, that and much more right around the corner.
That's right. Our guest today is Jerry Boyer. He's a good friend. He's a professional economist, and he doesn't charge us anything to join us on the program. You'll want to continue to listen as we discuss where we're headed in our economy and as Christian people. How long, when will it get back to normal? All that with Jerry Boyer right after this.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, will help you find that hope and peace. This hands-on study will show you the four H's of financial wisdom to help you apply the power of God's Word to your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Max McLean. What are the Lord's final plans for the righteous? Listen to the Bible from Jeremiah 31. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. I have surely heard Ephraim's moaning. You disciplined me like an unruly calf, and I have been disciplined. Restore me, and I will return, because you are the Lord my God. From Jeremiah 31. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Hear more at radiobible.org. That's radiobible.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Also joining us today is economist Jerry Boyer. We always like to get Jerry with us every few weeks or so to get his perspective on market and economic trends. And we're certainly in the middle of a trend right now as we speak.
We sure are. And Jerry, just before the break, you were talking about this purging of the economy that we're witnessing that was brought on by this event. This was not a policy-driven recession. It was not a structural problem that was inherent in our economy. It was event-driven.
Right.
And yet, Jerry, I think as we've talked about before, this may accelerate some of the trends that were already taking place in our economy. How do you evaluate that in light of perhaps what changes might be here to stay as a result of COVID-19?
Yeah, I think that what hard times do is they test institutions. Hebrews says that there's a shaking so that the things that can't be shaken will remain. So institutions that are economically kind of shaky, that were under pressure, they tend to fall. You know, when you have a building that's not up to code, it doesn't just necessarily fall down one day. When there's an earthquake, it falls. Right.
Yes.
So all the, you know, all the problems in the structure show up when bad things happen. So, you know, after the housing crisis and the housing bubble pop, people said, what's the next bubble? And I said, higher education, I think. Hmm. Higher education was in some ways economically unsustainable and in some ways in bubble territory and has gotten more so, especially the physical plant aspect of higher education. Well, it didn't pop on its own. When bubbles pop, whether it's the tech bubble or the housing bubble or now what I would argue was a higher education bubble, probably an oil shale bubble as well, these bubbles usually don't pop on their own. They usually pop when bad economic times come, and then they're shaken, and then they fall. So those are the institutions that don't V their way back up. Bricks and mortar retail, I don't think will be a V. Higher education, I don't think will be a V. I don't think shale oil is going to be a V because the things had gotten unsustainable to begin with. But for the most part, the higher education is not a big part of the economy. The whole entertainment economy, I looked at the data here, and we look at gross output as opposed to just GDP.
Yes.
GDP, you and I have talked about this a bunch. GDP is the final stage of consumption. Gross output is everything that happens before. Mm. You add up restaurants, theaters, concerts, sports, amusement parks, all of that stuff, that whole thing. You add that up, it is 1% of gross output. Mm. So I guess my point here is some of the things, if they're not a V, we can live with that because they're not the big economic output items. Big economic output, manufacturing is a big economic output item. Finance is a big economic output item. So the stuff that is going to be under more pressure for more time has a lot of low-wage employees working in it. So it is a social tragedy, but it doesn't have a lot of macroeconomic input in it. And maybe some of those people aren't going to go back to working at the amusement park or whatever. Maybe they're going to go work for fulfillment centers for e-commerce, you know, which is growing like gangbusters. So e-commerce is another one. Bricks and mortar retail were under pressure. In some ways, the old model of the mall was kind of used up, being replaced by something more like Amazon especially. Well, that's all accelerated now because that's what trauma and trial does. It accelerates things. Mm.
So, Jerry, then if we go back to that analogy of the letter as a representation of how our economy is going to recover, and you use the letter U, meaning we may be in this trough for a little while we deal with therapeutics and ultimately wait for a vaccine and look for the other solutions to COVID-19, really what gives you confidence in the right side of the letter U is the fact that what you just said, gross output for those sectors that will be most hard hit are relatively small, and the overall health of the economy going into it? Is it that simple?
Yeah, it's that simple. We're not an economy that runs on sports events and on movie theaters. Yeah. They're a big part of our culture. They make for scary video on the evening news, an empty stadium. But we can reopen a whole lot of the economy where a whole lot of the, you know, the vast majority of the economic punch is, and maybe take our time a little bit with the NBA and raves and nightclubs and, you know, a lot of stuff where people are indoors packed together, political rallies, et cetera. you know, some of that stuff can be put off and you can still have a whole lot of recovery.
Yeah.
Even without those things.
Yeah. Jerry, I know we could spend multiple programs talking about this one topic, but I know it's on the heart and minds of so many of our listeners. So I want you just to give us your high level thoughts on the debt situation. Obviously, we've had incredible fiscal stimulus and open-ended monetary policy that has resulted in injecting huge amounts of money into our economy, and for good reason. The challenge is during the time of the greatest economic expansion we've ever seen in the years leading up to this, we were still running budget deficits. So what does that mean for us today? And what are your prospects moving forward, given these unprecedented debt levels we're now facing?
That's the thing that frightens me the most. I'm obviously concerned about the COVID. I'm concerned about the economic conditions. But this is a self-imposed lockdown. Therefore, it can be a self-imposed unlocking. Right? We can get back to normal pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So this we can handle. Question is, can we handle the thing that comes from what we did to get through this? We spent and borrowed and printed our way through this crisis. And it worked. Look at, you know, markets have generally, you know, responded to that. But every crisis that we've had in recent times was a result of what we did to get out of the last crisis. So we had a tech bubble and that burst. And what did we do? We went to 1% interest rates for years. And what did that do? That created the housing bubble. And then we had the housing bubble burst. And then we have quantitative easing one, quantitative easing two, quantitative easing three. We created these huge bubbles in tech stocks. And I think we really accelerated the higher education bubble in those circumstances. I think we probably built a natural gas, a shale oil bubble with all that easy money going around and the desire to be energy independent as a political goal, et cetera. So we built those bubbles, but we never spent down. We never took the money back out that we had created to get through the jam. It's like you go through a tough time and your doctor says, I think you need to be on an antidepressant med, and you get on the antidepressant med and then you get addicted to it, right? You never get off when times are good. And then you just want higher and higher and higher doses. Yeah. So, you know, we've bailed out the housing bubble basically with government. But what bails out the government? Right? Yeah. Because what the federal budget is bailed out by the federal bank, you know, the Fed, which buys that debt. Well, then what bails them out? Mm. There's nothing in the world big enough to bail that out. So I'm very concerned about the long term, even the midterm effect of this debt.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, obviously, we could talk about this all day, and I really appreciate your thoughts. Is it fair to say, to put a bow on this, that we can handle the current debt levels, but we have to get serious about this in the future?
Yeah, so far the world has been willing to fund our deficits and buy dollars and hold them. But if we don't get our act together after this, and if we go too far with all of this now, then there will come a time when we won't be able to handle the levels of debt, and the world will not buy it from us. They won't lend us the money.
Jerry, my friend, always great to have you with us. Grateful for you.
My pleasure. God bless.
Jerry Boyer, Chief Economist at Vidon Financial. We'll be right back with your calls at 1-800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. More MoneyWise Live after this.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know the 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? You'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles and easy-to-follow advice. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywise.org/signup.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Galatians 5, verse 16. I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other." Now, one reason, y'all, it is so important that you and I figure this thing out is because this is where it becomes so personally fulfilling to walk with Christ. That it begins, we begin to lose our taste for the old, for the sinful passions. We begin to develop a new passion, a holy passion. So this is important. It says in 19, I want you to hear that there really are, even in living in the Spirit, there are just no's. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like." So he's saying right there, you'll know those are the things of the flesh. He said, "I'll give you some examples. Those are some no's. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit."
Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Classes begin at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We're talking or chatting about anything that might be on your mind, anything financial today. Feel free to give us a call, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. Also, our Facebook question of the day is, what are you doing with your stimulus check? We'll even take your calls on that one if you'd like to join in. In fact, here's an example. Leslie says online, we purchased a new grill. Our old one was way behind its years, and we're working with our pastor to get the majority of our stimulus to families in our community who are desperately impacted by not being allowed to work. And that's being generous with your and practical, very practical, with your stimulus check, right, Rob?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, you know, we need to think about how we use these resources. Do we want to pay down debt? Perhaps we're in a really good spot. We want to do some additional giving. Maybe it's to shore up your emergency fund because they've cut back your hours. Perhaps you lost a job, and this is a time to preserve cash and stretch those dollars as far as you can. Whatever it is, it's a decision you should consider with a great deal of prayer.
And as a person who cooked 25 chicken wings in the last couple of days, the grill is important as well. So there you go.
Who cooked the chicken wings? You or me?
I did. It was I did. All right. It was a Mother's Day thing.
Okay. Yeah. My kids love when I grill chicken wings. And we did that the other day as well. So
there you go.
Had the inside scoop. Maybe they called you or something.
800-525-7000. Yeah. If you'd like to tell us what you're doing with your check, give us a call and we'll move briskly through a few of those calls. But let's go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hi, Paul. Nice to have you there, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been blessed to have some extra money each month above my budget expenses that I have. And recently, a friend of mine suggested that I buy a program to help me know how to manage that extra money. And this is a budgeting program that both helps manage your budget and tell you where to put your extra money. And his idea was that banks use similar software programs to maximize their cash for the best profits that they can get.
Yeah.
So when we plugged in my information, my current loan payoffs would be in about 18 years, and this would make it look like it would probably be under 5-year payoff for eradicating all my loans. But you know, I see it as bringing some more awareness and discipline to my situation. But I wondered what your thoughts were on spending that $3,900 for such a program.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. The entry cost is steep and I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, in theory, it works on paper in the sense that basically what most of these will do is it will involve a line of credit where all available dollars are paid against the loan, the mortgage that, you know, as your, for instance, income is paid to you, you reduce the line, thereby not paying interest on it for those number of days that you don't owe the money. Then you borrow it back out to pay your bills and you kind of repeat that cycle. And there's a function by which through doing that, you can actually pay things off quicker by leveraging debt. Do you think that's similar to what they're recommending?
Yeah, that's exactly. They're saying it puts all of my available lines of credits and loans and so forth together and helps me know where to transfer money back and forth between those different accounts.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, the reason I don't like it is a couple of reasons. Number one is very expensive on the front end to get into it. You're having to buy kind of their intelligence, so to speak, through this software package, which is very pricey. Number two, it involves this line of credit, which is going to have a variable interest rate. Right now, in a very low interest rate environment, that's okay. But if rates were to move up down the road, that could work against you. It also requires a lot of discipline, and you have to stay on top of things. You also have to have good cash flow. And if you had a disruption in your income, something happened, you know, you could get caught in a really tough spot. So, you know, when things are complicated and complex, if I can't explain them to somebody else, I tend to stay away. And so what I would rather see you do is not spend all that money up front. I'd rather you go with a traditional fixed interest rate mortgage, locking in at perhaps the rate you already have or refinancing to some rate lower than that if you can save at least a point on that. And then take that margin, which is a powerful force, if you will, Paul. I mean, financial margin is your income minus your expenses each month. And if you spend less than you make, which you clearly are, that margin is a powerful force for accomplishing your God-given goals. And once you have adequate reserves, paying down debt with that margin or increasing your giving are both phenomenal uses of those dollars. So I think taking that margin and redirecting it, assuming it fits with your overall financial plan, towards eradicating debt systematically, as opposed to with a large upfront investment, with some of the risks that come with the home equity loan, with some of the complexity involved in this type of plan. Rather than that, just go the more conventional approach, but be very disciplined as to paying down that debt just as quick as you can, even though you may not on paper do as well. I don't think you're opening yourself up to as much risk in the event that something unexpected happens. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, I think that's very helpful.
Okay. Very good, Paul. Hey, listen, we appreciate you listening and calling today. May the Lord bless you, sir.
Yeah. God bless. Yeah, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. And we'll continue to take your calls. We're going to have to hit a break here momentarily. This is MoneyWise with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Our phone number is 800-525-7000. We're also wondering, what are you doing with your stimulus check? We had a number of people leave comments on our Facebook page today. Charlotte says, we gave our tithe off of it, and now it's just hanging in savings. Didn't really need it. I confess I was a little irritated when we got it, because our government doesn't have any money to give away. Any thoughts on that, Rob? How should we feel about getting this money, particularly if we don't need it?
Well, there's a lot there. I mean, obviously, Jerry in our earlier segment tackled this, and he has concerns, as do I, about the incredible amount of money that we're printing right now and essentially borrowing against the future. The same principles that apply to individuals apply to nations. And unfortunately, during times of plenty in this country, we've still lived with deficits as opposed to surpluses, and now we're adding to it. So I think we need to be very careful in the future. We need to have policy and spending with restraint so we can get on top of this. But at the bottom line is, this is very necessary, what we're doing, given the current environment we find ourselves in.
And again, if you'd like to share with us briefly what you're doing with your stimulus check, give us a call. Get in line, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi. I'm Caleb from Moody Radio. The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week is found in Isaiah 35:3-4. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. That's Isaiah 35:3-4, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
Studying the Messianic prophecies in the Old Testament is a great way to study the Scriptures, but it can be confusing. The biblical authors came from different cultures at a different time, and they used different styles. I'm Michael Rydelnik. I teamed up with my good friend Ed Bloom to bring you the Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy. It covers and explains in context virtually every Messianic prediction, and it all points to the Promised One, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Get your copy at moodypublishers.com.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, is warning Congress and the nation of what he calls really serious consequences of suffering, death, and deeper economic damage if state and local officials lift stay-at-home orders too quickly. A shutdown on Broadway has been extended again at least until early September. Although an exact date for performances to resume has yet to be determined, Broadway producers are now offering refunds and exchanges for tickets purchased for shows through September 6th. Consumer prices fell 0.8% in April, with the declines led by a huge drop in gasoline prices and in sectors most affected by shutdowns. An afternoon slump on Wall Street gained momentum in the last hour of trading. The Dow fell 457 points today. The Nasdaq was down 189. This is SRN News.
Great to have you with us. 800-525-7000. It's MoneyWise Live. Let's go to Buffalo, New York. Hello, Ben. Thanks for your patience. What's your question?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Now, my favorite proverb is, train a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not stray. I have five children. And I believe that that's also, that verse encompasses financial training as well. Are there any resources available that are suitable for young children to train them for being good stewards of God's money?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking this question, because I wholeheartedly agree. You know, so often students are leaving, I say students, but children that are students that are going on to college, they leave the home ill-prepared, not only in financial literacy, which is the mechanics of how does debt work and the importance of having a spending plan and understanding what it takes to actually live and how insurance works and, oh, by the way, what does it mean to invest and is that a good thing? You know, all of these really key financial literacy pieces that need to be in place, but also for the Bible-believing family, for those Christians out there, you know, so often these children are leaving the home without a proper understanding of God's perspective of handling money, beginning with God owns it all, and money is a tool, and we're a steward, and oh, by the way, there's 2,300 verses in God's Word that speaks to money and possessions and net worth and how we should handle our resources, and by the way, giving breaks the power of money. I mean, all of these things need to be communicated early and often. And I would say resources are great, and I'm going to mention one specifically, but probably, Ben, the most powerful tool in preparing your children is you. You know, just the conversations you're going to be having around the dinner table, and, you know, when they want to buy something, communicating this idea of give, save, spend, and especially for the young ones, having, you know, a three-jar system, and I would recommend you have a clear jar, almost like a mason jar, where they can see the money in there, and as they get money, whether you do chores or they have the ability to make some money or just birthdays and Christmas, that they start to get comfortable with putting money into a save jar and a give jar and a spending jar. And for those things they're saving for, I love the idea of even having them print out a picture of what it is they're saving for and tape it right on the jar so they know what they're saving for. And that begins to acquaint them with this idea that money is limited. It's a limited resource that we need to plan, that we don't just react out of emotion and spend whatever we get, but we have a system by which we operate, and that we should be systematic givers. And that's really key. I think the other piece of it is just the conversations that you'll have, you know, as they want things or they want to go out to dinner, or, you know, can't we go do this, Dad? And to be the ability to say, not just we can't afford it, but we operate based on a plan in this family, and we use a budget, and we have limited resources, and we want to honor God with what he's given us. So here's how that works, son, and begin to talk through the trade-offs that are there and have some of those really honest and practical conversations. That's really critical. I had even one dad that called. He said, Rob, I cashed my paycheck literally in cash, and I put it on the dining room table, and I began to allocate it out for all of the various things that it takes to run our family over a 30-day period, and the kids saw how quickly it was gone. And that communicated a valuable lesson. For us in our family, one month we gave the kids control of the eating out portion of our budget. And we said, you all own it this month, so you, the four of you, need to get together and develop a plan for where are we going to eat and how much is that going to cost. And if we want to go out to lunch after church, well, maybe we can't go out for pizza Friday night. And, you know, they were kind of wrestling through it. And it was a great lesson because they realized that there were trade-offs involved. So I think the power of you and having regular conversations is really critical. Now, getting back to your original question, what about resources? There are some great ones. And what I'd like to do is send you a copy of a book called The ABCs of Handling Money that Howard Dayton put together years ago. We'll send you a copy as our gift to you, and I think this will be a great tool for you to use with the kids. But is that helpful to you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my kids are very young right now, 7, 6, 5, 2, and just 3 weeks. So,
oh my goodness!
But
okay.
But I really think that, you know, making them money wise, you know, at a very young age is the best thing to do. You know, of course, we've made some mistakes in our life, of course, like everybody has. But you know, we're really trying to learn from them, and know, I definitely don't want my children to have to go through any of that those mistakes if they don't have to.
I couldn't agree more. I think you're on the right track. And here's the thing. Not only will they appreciate it down the road, their spouse will be grateful as well. And Ben, thank you for calling today. God bless you, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much. Keep your eye on the mail, and we'll get that book right out, or however books are being delivered these days. Let's try to take one more quick one here. Palm Beach Garden, Florida. Hi, Phil. What's your question for Rob West?
Hi,
Phil. You there?
I'm here. This is Phil from Palm Beach Gardens.
Yes, great. Sir. Go right ahead.
Hello. Just a quick question. I'm 72 years old, currently have no debt, but I do have two life insurance policies that are paid up, and the dividends are paying the premiums. And a lot of people say after you get a certain age, you don't need life insurance, but I've been very blessed. I mean, we have no debt. We have liquidity. And I just thought it was a good idea to keep these insurance policies. We have everything paid up for, and I'm sure there's some cash available. Just want to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, Phil, I'm a fan of not carrying insurance beyond its needed period of time, just because those premiums are going to continue to rise, likely. And even though you've built up a cash value, which means that that cash value is being used to fund those premiums, and it's not coming out of pocket, that's money that you could recapture and, you know, put into circulation for whatever God has for you right now. So I think that's the thing to wrestle through is there a functional purpose for it? Are you looking at this as a part of the inheritance that you'll someday leave behind? Or is there a reason to say, you know what, because we've been diligent savers, we've limited our lifestyle, we are out of debt, we've got liquidity and all the margin we need, we no longer need this policy, so we're going to take that cash and we're going to give it away, or we're going to do something else with it that's more productive than just paying this premium for money that, you know, will ultimately pay out at your death, but it's not needed to really offset a risk right now where somebody who's depending upon you for income or something like that would have a hardship in the event of your passing. So I think, you know, that's really what you need to wrestle through right now.
Okay, well, I appreciate your guidance. Thank you so much.
All right, Phil. God bless you, sir.
Thanks, Phil. We appreciate that. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. You can reach us at 800-525-7000. Our Facebook question of the day, we're asking folks, what are you doing with your stimulus check? Some people have left us emails, also taking your calls on this, 800-525-7000. Tony says, I'm encouraging those who got one to start by giving $300 to their church for care ministries. Connie says, I paid off my iPhone, and I'm saving the rest for emergency travel if needed to out-of-state relatives. Joshua says, we lost tuition reimbursement, so adding this to the cash flow for the wife's master's degree in nursing. Scott says, my money has gone straight to savings. Mike says, we are paying bills. So we're not sure what you might want to do with your check, but pray about it. Be generous and be thoughtful about that, and we appreciate hearing from you. We're going to pause for a brief break, then we'll be back. This is MoneyWise Live.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. As an incentive to share your faith every moment of every day, you should Google rewards in heaven. If you're simply resting the knowledge that you're going to heaven, you're in for a surprise, because your status in heaven is being determined by what you're doing today. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be rewarded for what you've done, how you spent your time, and what's been your motivation. Have you laid up treasures on earth or in heaven? Has your focus been on the wood, hay, and stubble of this world that's consumed by fire, or in that which abides forever in heaven, the souls of those you've led to the Lord? For when that day comes, nothing else will matter. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Hi, Rob West here. Stories can be a powerful way to motivate people. If you've been helped by listening to MoneyWise Live, sharing your story will encourage others to follow God's financial principles and help free them to serve the Lord more fully. I want to ask you to consider leaving a testimony after the program by calling 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Thanks, and God bless you.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. The Apostle Paul described the last generation of human history as godless individuals who produce godless families that produce a godless society that actually infests the church. Paul describes in 2 Timothy 3:5 the church as having a form of godliness but denying its power. Every day we hear about horrific acts perpetrated by brutal people with no self-control. There seems to be no respect for human life or recognition of human dignity. The treacherous killing of the unborn goes on underneath the surface of our conscious awareness. May God have mercy on us. Listen to me. Our culture is on a free fall of moral and spiritual bankruptcy, and it's provoking the judgment of God. I wonder, could the blame fall on churches that are hiding the light under a bushel of political correctness as they compromise the gospel? Jesus is the only way to God. He is Savior, He is Lord, and He is coming. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Great to have you with us today. We're honored you would choose us to listen to right now. We know you have lots of other options. It's MoneyWise Live. And Rob, let's go back to our phones. Montgomery, Illinois. Linda, what's your question for Rob?
Yes, thanks for taking my call, and sure. I appreciate your show. And I heard that military retired veterans are the last to get the stimulus check. And I was just wondering, my husband is retired military. We haven't gotten ours yet, and I was just wondering how they decide who gets what and when, or yes, if you had any idea.
Yeah, Linda, you know, the payouts are a function, my understanding is, of how you're being paid. So if the IRS has your direct deposit information because you're receiving, for instance, entitlements like Social Security, or you get a refund or you did last year, and so they have that direct deposit information, that's going to expedite how you get your payment. We certainly haven't heard that vets are last. It's more likely that you're not getting the electronic refund. And I know many folks who are getting the paper check for a variety of reasons. Either they had to pay in something, or the information is just not on file, or they don't make enough to pay taxes, and so that information is not there. Whatever that might be, those paper checks are often lagging just a bit. So that's most likely the situation here, but he should be eligible for the check, and so I imagine you'll be getting that very, very soon.
Linda, we hope that helps. God bless you both. Thank you very much. Spokane, Washington. Hi, John. What are you doing with your stimulus check, sir?
Well, that's the nature of my question, actually.
Great.
You may have answered the question while I was waiting when you addressed your answer to Linda.
All right.
And I didn't get to hear it, but I heard on the radio, which was Radio News, and I don't think it was a KMBI Spokane Moody affiliate, that if people that have a record of paying their taxes through IRS and are Social Security recipients, if they haven't received whatever money's coming, they have to contact the IRS by tomorrow. And I thought,
yes.
You know, I've never heard that. I should call the fellows at MoneyWise and find out.
It's exactly right. There is a deadline that's been set. The IRS set it. It's noon, May 13th, which is tomorrow, to submit a direct deposit information to avoid waiting for a mailed stimulus check. So you're going to want to do that again by noon tomorrow. And the IRS has set up a portal for you to get your payment. And if you just Google that, IRS Get My Payment, you'll be taken to the Economic Impact Statement website, where you can provide your information. Now, you would only need to do that if they don't already have it, but that is the way by which you provide that information to the IRS to ensure that you will, in fact, get that on an expedited basis, which means the electronic form is always going to be faster. And so, yeah, if that's you, go ahead and check that out by tomorrow at noon.
Mm-hmm. John, we appreciate that phone call. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, John.
All I was going to say is it wasn't an issue of haste. We didn't care when or really if the money came, but having heard that it is coming and it won't come at any time unless we submitted more information by tomorrow, that's what got our attention. We're not in any hurry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, if you didn't submit it by tomorrow, you will still get it. You'll just get the paper version of it, which could take a little bit longer. But if you qualify, you will get it. Now, there could always be a problem along the way, but for the vast majority of people, by far, you're going to get it one way or the other. It's either going to be electronic or in the mail, and the mail is always going to be the slower version of those. Mm.
So let me get this straight, Rob. Essentially, the IRS has said, meet us on the street at high noon. I mean, is that that sounds a
no,
little scary?
I didn't read it that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I've been
meet
watching
me
too
on
many
the web moon. By noon tomorrow.
Oh.
I think it was.
Okay. Thanks very much, John. Lament, Illinois. Hello, Beth. How can we help you?
Hi, I'm actually in a new relationship with a financial advisor, and one of the things that we had talked about doing was I have a $5,000 savings in my bank account for my daughter's car. He suggested moving that money to a money market account, and I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything underlying that I needed to know, because I do want to have that money accessible when the time comes that we would purchase the car within the next about 6 months.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm a fan of online savings accounts. I think, you know, you can get the FDIC insurance depending upon what type of account you have. But these days, you know, there's plenty of options out there. You know, even in this very low interest rate environment, many of these online savings are still paying 1.5%. And I realize the key for you is not the return on your money, but it's the return of your money. So you want to make sure it's safe. safe. You want that FDIC insurance. You want it readily accessible. And I'm a fan of you putting that in an online savings account, linking that to your checking. You could use Ally or Capital One 360 or Marcus or American Express High Yield Savings, any of those. You're really not in this environment going to do any better with a money market account. I would probably just keep it right there in savings. And again, to expedite that transfer, link it up electronically with your checking account. So when you need it, just with a click of a button, that money will be moved over usually within about 2 days.
Does that make sense, Beth?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Beth. God bless you.
Thanks, Beth. God bless. And let's see if we can squeeze in Nathaniel now, calling from Music City, USA, also known as Nashville, Tennessee. What's on your mind, Nate?
Hey, guys. Bear with me as I try to explain this. For the past 4 years, I'm only 21, I have been going through financial struggles. I learned everything financially through my parents, who are not very good with money. But I have two small children and my girlfriend, and they actually just moved to Virginia. And as I'm here in Nashville, I'm trying to get more of a stable foundation so that I can take care of them. But I have such trouble with discipline and just keeping money. As soon as I make it, I spend it. Or if I have enough, I'll spend it on something that's not necessary. And I just can't seem to I don't have any discipline. And so I'm asking your advice if there's any resources or any kind of system that I could use to actually start that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, Nathaniel. You know, a couple of things. Number one is, are you connected to a good Bible-believing church there in Nashville?
Well, not at the moment. Actually, that's been something. I've been online churching for a while through a church called Transformation Church, but not physical church.
Okay. And obviously that's a challenge in this environment. Really, nobody is. But once those restrictions begin to lift and things begin to turn back more normal later this summer when people are able to gather in groups, I'd love for you to really connect into a local church there in Nashville. There's some great ones, churches that preach the Word of God that you could get into some community and begin to grow in your relationship with the Lord and in fellowship with other believers. I think that's really key. And if there's never been a time where you've trusted Christ to be the Lord of your life, I'd love to talk to you about that off air and share with you more about how you can know for sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you know, pursue a relationship with Him. You know, in terms of discipline, this is something we all can struggle with in times in our lives and in different areas. And so much of the way we handle money has to do with how we were raised, how money was handled, how we watched it being handled by our parents. But that doesn't mean that despite whether that was really a positive experience or not so much, we can't begin to grow in our understanding of God's way of handling money. Because really, when we understand that God owns it all, including the financial resources we have, and we're His money managers, or you could use the word steward to describe that, it begins to change everything, Nathaniel, about how you prioritize the use of God's money for the goals and objectives He's given you to take care of yourself and others, to be generous, to meet your needs, but also to save for your goals. And I think going through a process of really praying and saying, Lord, what are those things you want me to use your money for? Obviously, taking care of the bills on a day-to-day basis are key. But beyond that, the ability to live well within your means, which means making some hard decisions, but not just for the sake of having more money, but you want to create margin so you can pursue what God is calling you to, saving for future goals, being able to do more in the way of giving and being more generous, being able to meet the needs of others. You know, if you have a child, being able to take care and provide for your children is obviously very biblical. In fact, we're commanded to do that, to provide for those. So all that is done in the context of prayer, goal setting, a plan, living within your means, and then ultimately having a budget or a spending plan that takes everything I just said and really breaks it down into a monthly plan that says, here's how I'm going to allocate my money. Not just because we want to try to be, really restrictive in how you handle God's money, but you're never going to be able to realize your goals unless you live by that plan. And you got to create some flexibility inside that plan so you can, do the things that God has called you to do. So I want to do two things. Number one, I want you to hold the line when we're done here, and I want to send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts. And I want you to commit to reading that over the next couple of weeks and just allow God to renew your mind as you read these biblical principles of handling money. The second thing I want you to do is go to our website, moneywiselive.org, and I want you to connect with a coach, somebody who can provide some accountability to you, help you flesh out those goals, help you get set up on a spending plan, and then walk with you over the next several weeks as you implement it. We'll be praying for you. Appreciate your call. May the Lord bless you.
We do. Thank you very much, Nathaniel. So, it's not just enough to try harder and want to do it harder, but equip yourself with some tools and ask God to help you. We're glad that you called in today, and we wish you the best. My thanks to our technical crew, Aaron, Judy, Courtney, and Jim. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Have a great remainder of your day.